When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone. Commander Chris Hadfield here. When I was younger, I was a scout. I was a Cub Scout. And they taught me some really important things. They taught me to be ready. Every week we got together for a meeting and we had to prepare. We had to get our kerchief ready. We had to think about the various mottos and ideas of scouting. We had to try and qualify for things. We had to change who we were as young people to try and become more qualified and competent and understand the world around us. And with each one of those accomplishments, we got to earn badges and levels of recognition. And that was a really important start for me. Because what I realized was, I don't always just have to be this little beginning of something. I can actually start to turn myself into maybe someone who could fly a rocket ship.
Hi, I'm Declan Brady. I'm part of the National Air Activities Skills Adventure Team. And we're here on a little bit damp Ballyboggle Airfield in the middle of the fantastic Yuller 22. The main thing for the Honour Challenge is to give our scouts, our youth members, an opportunity to engage with very particularly everything that goes on in aviation. It's such a big part of the Irish economy and so on. And I suppose as well, it's our opportunity to get quite a large amount of STEM into scouting. We're here, we're camping on the airfield. Everything that's happening around is to do with aviation, engineering, rocketry, drones. The whole piece is available here to us today, and the kids are interacting with that. It's fantastic.
And, you know, from somebody who might remember scouting a long time ago about tying knots, it's now gone quite advanced. As you mentioned, STEM, which is the whole idea of science, technology, engineering, maths.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're still doing basic scouting as scouts, and, you know, there's still obviously, you know, the opportunity for all of those basic scouting skills to be built on and then extended and applied through STEM type programs, you know. You know, we build things, that's our pioneering. You know, the rocketry requires parachutes to be attached, that's our knots. You know, we have an emergencies team here because, you know, stuff happens, etc., etc., etc. So all of that for us in the air activities team comes together here at Yuller.
Now, you had a rather nice event last night involving people sitting in a field watching an astronaut.
We did. We have here what we call the Airy Arena on the Ballyboggle Airfield. That's a kind of a little cinema space. And we had on the screen here Commander Chris Hadfield, famous Canadian astronaut that has those great connections here to Ireland Inc. We had the idea back in 2019 before COVID, etc. Because of those strong connections we had, we wanted to tell him what we were doing and would he give us a message for the kids, and he did.
What really inspired me was maybe to someday walk on the moon. I watched the very first astronauts who went and walked on the moon, and I just thought, wow, is that possible? That's really just sort of like a scouting badge. If I can somehow change who I am from this little nubbit of a person that I right now, maybe I can somehow become a person who could fly in space. But it's really up to me. I just have to earn all the right badges. I have to take who I am right now, study, work, prepare, get myself ready, and maybe someday someone will trust me to do something as magnificent as fly a rocket ship and become an astronaut and fly in space. And amazingly enough, that actually happened.
As Chris said, it all starts with scouting. It's about giving kids the opportunity, the availability to learn, to grow, to explore themselves, to learn from that experience, to make the mistakes that need to be made in a safe environment, to build on that, to have great imaginations, and who knows where that goes.
What would be your hope for the Uller Challenge in years to come? You want to see it grow?
We do. We want to, you know, in the years to come, perhaps have opportunities spread more around the island. You know, Uller will be here, absolutely, in Ballyboggle, but maybe we can bring some of what we were doing to different places. You know, there are other airfields we can go to, and there are very portable things we can do. We also want to bring back that we did back in 2019 and 2018, skill days for scouters, because we want this program in the scout dens, in the meeting places, on the camps and so on, so that everybody has access to this.
If somebody was living, I suppose, a little bit disingenuous, they might think young people are a little bit less inclined towards scouting and more inclined towards technology. You've proved otherwise.
Absolutely. We've 130 odd kids here today, all getting stuck in with this technical stuff, you know, and all of the different aspects of what makes this possible is on display here today for the kids to see and enjoy and explore. Troop! Troop alert! Troop, salute! So we're going to say our scout promise, and then we're going to raise the flag. And each of you can say your personal spiritual version. On my honour, I promise that I will do my best to uphold our scout principles, to help my community, and to obey the scout law. Troop it is!
Okay guys, thanks to the Irish Air Corps, Uller Challenge is now officially open. We're gonna kick off into your bases. The Irish Air Corps crew, we'll be down in the dining tent having a breakfast, hopefully.
Have a chat.
Ask questions, find out what you want to know, figure out how you're going to fly that someday or fix it.
Morning, I'm Captain Alan Bray and I'm a helicopter pilot in the Irish Air Corps.
And we're here in your helicopter, in out of the rain, let's be fair, at a really interesting event. The other thing I've noticed about yourself and the crew, some of you are wearing neckerchiefs. A scout?
That's right. I'm an inactive scout at the moment. I was a scout leader in Chapel Izzet for quite a number of years. But then when my twins were born a few years ago, I had to take a step back. But hopefully I'll be back there again soon enough.
Tell me the importance of an event like this for the scouts and indeed from the Air Corps point of view.
Well, for the scouts, it's huge because for their air skills badge, it's quite difficult for a lot of the groups, if they're not near an airfield or don't have someone who's involved in aviation in the group itself, it's quite difficult for them to be able to do the things they need to do to progress in that area and gain the skills involved or get any exposure to aviation, really. So this event focuses that for all the scout groups around the country and gives one event that they can come and get exposure to aviation, learn all about it, and then progress in their air skills badge.
And I think another thing, of course, an event like this does is it breaks down kind of the barriers and myths that people have of, well, I could never do that job or I couldn't get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially at that age, you know, it just seems like such a impossible feat. But if you ask anyone in the Air Corps or a lot of people in aviation, they'll tell you that, you know, once your focus is on it and it's what you want to do, it's not that big a deal at all, really. You know, once you keep at it, it's quite easy in a lot of ways.
So who have we got with us?
So beside me is my co-pilot is Lieutenant Sean Curran and our crewman Lachlan Gillespie, Airman Lachlan Gillespie.
Another scout,
yeah. My troop is First Wicklow Greystones, and I do a good bit of work as well with the Lockdown Scout Centre.
We saw you on arrival today, actually, with the door open, hanging out of the helicopter. What were you looking for?
So my job as the air crew in the heli is basically the pilot can only see pretty much from the 11 to 2 o'clock kind of area in front of him. So everything to the rear of that then on my side of the heli is kind of, I have to keep eyes out for obstructions or hazards or people, anything like that.
And again, in an event like this and you as a scout, did you have an opportunity as a scout to get anywhere near aviation, or was that something that came later?
It was definitely something that came later. When I was in scouts, the air side of the badges was kind of just forgotten about because we didn't have access to anything to do with the air.
Not a scout you?
No, not a scout myself, but I was given the honour of raising the flag today, so it was nice to be able to participate in that.
Of course, the other thing for the Air Corps is the 100th anniversary. It's been a busy year.
It's been an extremely busy year. That's right. So the Air Corps are 100 years old this year, and there's been the many events culminating the Bray Air Show, which I think was a big success for us.
What advice would you have for somebody who was looking at a career, and particularly the younger people who might be listening to us today, if they were going to go in for it?
I know I've been asked that question a good few times, all right, and people have asked about like choosing leaving cert subjects and things. I wouldn't be too concerned about stuff like that. More so about trying to develop in themselves the personal values that are going to be applicable. And all of the information is there available on military.ie. So all of the competencies that they need, including teamwork skills, working under pressure, communication, they're all applicable and important things to be working on, and things that you can do from a very young age and just developing yourself into the appropriate candidate.
And then the decision as to where you go within the Air Corps, obviously, because it's not all flying.
No, it's not all flying. Before I joined helis, actually, I was in the military training school. So when I finished recruit training, luckily I got posted into there, and then I just got the help with the training of the future.
We're in the 139. What could be a typical role for this helicopter? You're saying it just came back from air ambulance work?
That's right. This aircraft itself was on air ambulance duty in Athlone, so the EAS, the Emergency Air Ambulance Service, based out in Athlone for the last number of weeks. It came back for some routine maintenance on Thursday, and another 139 helicopter was swapped down there. There was no break in service. But that would be one of the main roles we achieved from there. So it's that is a joint operation with National Ambulance Service. But other roles include, obviously, the military tasks, so working with the Army Ranger Wing and the Army. That could be fast roping, parachute drops, any type of military service support like that. Another thing that keeps us quite busy, especially during the summer, and a summer like we've had now, is firefighting. So what we call Bambi bucketing, where we have a large bucket of water underneath the aircraft that we use to fight fires. Everything and anything in between, anything that's required of us.
What does it actually feel like for you when you release the water? Because there's suddenly a lot of weight coming off the helicopter.
That's right. We'd normally have about 1,250 litres underneath the aircraft. So that's quite a large percentage of our maximum all of weight that gets released in one go. So there's essentially it's like a huge jolt. The aircraft jolts upwards, and then obviously you can lower power then to compensate for that. But initially, when you release, there's a bit of a jolt upwards, and the aircraft feels very light all of a sudden.
And is that a two pilot operation? A dropping water?
Yeah, well, the 139 is a two pilot crew at all times, but firefighting would probably be one of the most intense role that we have. So we tend to try to split the flying as much as we can with that. You know, maybe one pilot will fly for 10 drops and then the other pilot and swap over. And we do a lot of that because you certainly need it. It's quite fatiguing throughout a day. They tend to be long days as well. So you definitely need a break.
Well, we've got to head back to the activities that are happening here at Ballyball. Guys, thanks for chatting to us.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you.
Katie Bergen, no stranger to Squawk 7000. And when the helicopter arrived in today from the Air Corps, you were quite busy.
I greeted the Air Corps and did my little scout salute to them. They did their army salute back. Very proud of it. I received the flag off them and we hung it up.
Now, what I didn't realise was that from the point of view of air activity with the scouts, there are different levels. Can you go through them give you a rough idea of what's involved?
There are. So in scouting, we have a few activities, one of them which is air activities, and we have nine stages for that, nine stages for each badge. And you work your way up, you do different activities and learn different skills to get up to your different stages.
What's the top level?
Nine.
What level are you?
I'm level nine.
I guessed as much. And you were involved in the briefing last night?
The safety briefing. That went really well. Yeah.
What were the things you were covering?
Just went over, FOD is a very important one. How to behave on an active runway, at an active airfield. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, use your common sense. Mm-hmm. Don't litter. Don't be messing. Make sure you have visual eye contact, communication with the pilot. Mm-hmm. If you're going near a plane. Treat all propellers and aircraft as live and dangerous.
Even if they're not on?
Even if they're not on.
What would you say to somebody who was thinking of getting involved in scouting, and particularly with some of the air activities?
I think it's an amazing thing. You learn so many amazing skills at scouts, like everything from air activities to first aid, camping, backwoods. Everything's brilliant. Lots of water activities too. You just learn skills for life, survival skills. That's it.
That's what's your next aviation activity?
Still training, mm-hmm. Still tipping away.
Good. Well, best of luck with the event.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Morning, Michael. I'm Kieran from the Air Activities team here at Uller this weekend. Didn't quite get the weather we were hoping for, but we crack on nonetheless.
To be fair, that's never going to stop a scout, is it?
No, absolutely not. To be honest, we were a little bit concerned about our industry speakers, whether they would be okay with the rains, because if we didn't scout when it was raining, we wouldn't scout at all. Yeah. But everyone's just got stuck in. It's great. Going great so far.
And from the point of view of people listening to us and this, they have no idea at all about the connection between scouting and aviation.
So there's a long history of air scouting, not just in Ireland, but internationally. And about maybe 10-15 years ago, we reorganised the programme in Scouting Ireland to not have specific air scouts, but just to incorporate air and aviation and all things kind of STEM related into the programme. So scouts, when they join at 6-7 as beavers, they have 9 different areas that they can gain awards in. So we have our traditional scouting things like hill walking, first aid, pioneering, camping. But aviation or air activities are one of those. So we've 9 levels of progression that they can go through, starting from, I understand, the parts of an aircraft, wing, engines, all the way up, right to people who will get to level 9 that have actually got airborne. They've done full VFR flight plans. So it's a very progressive system from 1 to 9. And we have, I'm sure you'll talk to her at some stage today, but we have Katie around, who's our youngest level 9. I think she's only about 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredible achievement to get through all those levels in that time.
To be fair, we saw Katie involved there with the marshalling of the arriving helicopter and the flag.
And she gave the safety briefing to all the youth members last night. So obviously the airfield is still active over the weekend as part of the attraction of the Uller event. And Katie gave a great safety briefing, talking to them about FOB, you know, the dangers of live propellers, what to watch out for when an aircraft is starting. So yeah, great job.
Now, you mentioned the Uller event, and again, I'm very keen initially just to get a context for this, because to be fair, it's a Saturday morning, the cloud is on the deck, it's hardly even VFR at this stage, we're trying to look down here towards the airport, you can't even see the tower. What brings a bunch of enthusiastic young people and their leaders to an airfield on a Saturday?
Well, I think first thing, credit to their leaders, because if we didn't have adult volunteers in scouting, none of this would happen, either on the air team side or the scouting side. So all over the country, we're just getting back to scouting. September is the start of our scouting year. So all the adults who are here have basically put this together at very short notice to get teams of 4 here. So the structure of the weekend is ranging from 11 and a half, 12 years up to 17. Teams of 4 will go around different activities during the day. So we have some that are just to allow them to chill, like we have planetarium and stuff like that, where they can just kind of hopefully learn a little bit and take half an hour out. But we also have flight sims, we have drones, we have engineering base, we have ATC, air accident investigation team are here to help us. So we get phenomenal support from the industry. Like if you were to run this event commercially, I think it would probably be €750 a ticket. You know, the industry comes together to support young people who have an interest in aviation, and it's phenomenal to see.
What's your involvement?
So I'm part of the air activities team. So like most of us, there's probably about 8 or 10 of us that form the core team that run the air or aviation program within Scouting Ireland. So most of us would be scout leaders in a group. So I'm based in Waterford with a group of scouts down there. And the team come together, so our scouting day job, so to speak, is the local group in Waterford, and then our side hustle is to try and put some events together to promote aviation and primarily the career opportunities within aviation and STEM to youth members. So there's a lot of activities that scouting do which are kind of character building, like camping, hill walking, looking after your own gear, planning a budget, all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, we kind of feel that we have a little bit of a niche there, in that there's a huge amount of careers in aviation, aerospace, all of that kind of stuff. And if you don't have the fortune or misfortune to come from an aviation family, a lot of that seems unreachable.
You fly yourself?
I do. I fly down in Waterford. I'm with Waterford Aero Club. We fly down there. We're really lucky with 3172s, all the facilities of Waterford Airport that go with it, and we're an approved training organisation. So, yeah, it's great side gig.
And as you mentioned, the idea of making it accessible, I mean, even the idea sometimes of a club can sometimes seem a bit distant, maybe to a young boy or girl thinking, I'd like to get in there, but how do we even get through the door?
I think, you know, if you Google, I want to be a pilot, or, you know, I want to be an engineer, a lot of that stuff seems kind of unreachable. Like, it seems like such a distant pipe dream. And a lot of times what will be number one and number two search results on Google will be the 120, 150,000 euro solution. And I think what we're trying to get across, you know, on weekends like this and the activities we run, is that there are a whole lot more ways into the industry than writing a check for 150 grand. So, you know, Dublin ATC are here, the IAA are here, the AAIU, we have engineering people from the IAA. Like, there's just, now it's only a 30-45 minute glimpse into each of those areas, but hopefully somebody will see something, or they'll get an opportunity to speak to somebody today, and they'll file it in the back of their mind, and then a CIO comes up and they're picking careers, they just know that it's an option, or they know that they can come and talk to us on the air team and we give them as best advice we can.
Over in the distance here, there are tents. People stayed here last night.
Yeah, so it's a weekend event. So the groups arrive from all over the country on Friday night. We have central catering down there, so all they literally have to do is arrive, pitch a tent and sleep. We do individual catering, so the kids will cook for themselves, because that's a life skill and it's something that we want them to develop. But if we have weekends like this where the program is particularly hectic and we don't want them to take time out to go and spend an hour and a half cooking dinner, We'll cater it for them.
Where are the scouts from today?
All over the country. Yeah. So I know there's obviously a group here from Waterford because I know them. We have groups from Clare, Mead, Dublin, Wexford. I'm trying to remember the rundown from last night in my head, but yeah. All over the place.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So how's it going? I'm Colin from Irish Rocketry, and we're here with the Scouts launching a couple of rockets today.
And we are actually in a tent with people, what, assembling their own rockets though?
So we're in a small tent with four teams at the moment. The teams are building small kits designed for schools, scouting groups and that sort of stuff. Yeah. I've asked them not to read the instructions, what they are, right? Because they kind of need to go with the instructions. And what the plan is that they're going to follow the instructions, build a kit, they click together, they're nice and simple, they go together in about 10-15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And later when the rain clears up, we're going to go outside and we're going to fly them.
So what are the restrictions, requirements, parameters for flying a rocket?
Depending on the size of the rocket, so the larger the rocket, we need a larger recovery area. Mm-hmm. To launch a rocket, though, it can be quite small. So for these smaller rockets, we've got a small stand. So essentially what you need to fly the small kits that we have is a large field, it's almost like a GAA pitch or something like that, is generally ideal.
Tell me more about Irish Rocketry then, what's that about?
So back in 2006, if I can remember correctly, myself and a guy called Ash McFadden from Donegal, he's an American guy, we got together and we formed the Irish Rocketry Society. We went to the UK, we got certified. So the group is internationally recognised. We're governed by a group called the Tripoli Rocketry Association out of the States. Oddly enough, it is linked to Tripoli in Libya. From back in the 60s, when, like I said, small gold coins from Libya, and they sold the gold coins to get themselves started up. We're a non-profit, so the idea is that we go around, we sponsor all the STEM stuff that in Ireland, so we go out, we go to schools, we go to groups, we build small rockets with them, we build slightly larger rockets, depending with the universities, we'll build much larger rockets, and we'll fly them, depending on what the site will we can do.
Okay, rockets aren't anything new, they've been around for centuries, haven't they?
Well, the Chinese kind of had a very crude system, but that was for warfare, not for scientific research or anything like that. So the Germans started, obviously, during Second World War with rockets, and essentially for bombing, and then kind of for higher altitude to gain an advantage over the enemy. Second World War ended. Both sides, Russia and the US, captured these rocket scientists. Von Braun being one of the most famous, brought them to NASA, and then obviously you had men on the moon 15 plus years later.
So what's the Irish interest then? Is it ultimately to get as high as you possibly can in the atmosphere?
The Irish interest is probably just more for the fun of it, for myself, it's for the fun. Gets me out and about. We do stuff like this. There are groups though within colleges though that are really interested, obviously from a scientific point of view, research point of views, and also though for it's something different in a class. So we had DIT out a couple of years ago, and their avionics team, it's a full theory course, so no physical hardware involved. So we had them out and they had to physically build a rocket, which a lot of them had never done. In 2017 we had the International Space University over down in Cork, and a lot of these guys, they're astronauts or they're in the space industry. So to tie in with these groups is phenomenal for us. But it's a ground root stuff. There was nothing when I was a kid, there was nothing here like this. Essentially you give back, but it's there was nothing there before you, so what did you create?
Tell me about altitude then with this, because that I suppose when you send a rocket skywards, you're curious about how high will you actually get it to go.
It's essentially a power to weight ratio. So today we're looking maybe 200 or 300 meters for the smaller rockets. Now there's some rockets here that we can get to 60,000 or 70,000 feet, no problem. They'll go twice the speed of sound. They'd overtake Concorde. We're not going to fly those because we're inside the control zone for the airport. But it is a power to weight ratio. That's why it's really expensive to send people up. For the smaller kits that the kids are going to build today, there's a couple of different motors that we're going to use, and those motors provide the amount of power or impulse that provides the thrust. And that will dictate how high we go. Also, the amount of water in the atmosphere. So depending on where you launch, if you launch off the equator, you get it, because the air rotates, you get an extra bit of kick to your rocket.
As against here in the field in North County Dublin,
on a wet day, it's a little bit more difficult. We wouldn't get as high.
I'm curious, has anyone ever attached a camera to any of your rockets?
So, yes, they have. We support a group, a thing called CANSAT, and they literally put a GoPro on the side, and we got great video footage off that. You can actually buy kits with high definition cameras built in. So for maybe $100 or something like that, you can go out, you can buy the kit, and then via Bluetooth or off a USB, just plug it in and get the video footage of your rocket leaving.
Do you always get your rocket back?
No. It's been expensive. There's rockets up trees, there's rockets in lakes, there's rockets in the sea. There's rockets that have hit the ground and are now basically confetti, unfortunately. Don't always get them back. It's nice to get them back because they are completely reusable. The kits that the kids are building today are, again, completely reusable. We'll launch them. They'll take out the small motor once they recover it. They can just repack the parachute, bit of wadding, put in a new motor, and the rocket should be able to go again. Now, sometimes it's great because if they get damaged, then they have to think, what happens? It's failed. So they've got to think about how... If they want to fly it again, they've got to be able to think about fixing it.
What do you put back on it?
And if anybody finds one of these rockets, what should they do?
So they can just go to irishrocketry.com. There's a contact us. Just tell me you found a rocket. The email comes through to myself. If it's a small rocket, keep it. Right? If it's one of the large ones, it's going to belong to somebody and they've put a lot of time and effort in. So the kids today, and when we go to launches or to schools, the kids keep the kits. It's theirs, essentially. And if I'm at an event or something like this, and if I just pull kids out of the crowd, normally what I do is the kid comes up, press the button, it's their rocket, because they've pressed the button, and that's normally what we do.
Tell me about some of the activities going on here. What have you got them doing?
So, at the moment, we gave them a kit. The kit came pre-done from the US, just unassembled, so they've assembled the kits. Some of them have followed the instructions. I've asked some of them not to try it first, because it gives you a bit of learning.
That's a really interesting approach, too, because most people I know wouldn't actually read the instructions anyway.
No, but they wouldn't. But if you give them a problem... Going to Mars, for example, we don't have a set of instructions.
When
the US started testing high altitude aircraft or something, they had no set of instructions. They have to test and that sort of stuff. So it gets them into a frame of mind of testing and trying to just work out problems or anticipate problems.
It looks like you have a team here who are actually finished.
Hi guys, how are you?
Do you want to say hello and who you are and where you're from?
Yeah. I'm Philip. This is Caitlin, Bronwyn and Georgia, and we're from Blessington.
In Blessington, yeah. What have you just managed to complete?
We've just built a rocket.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Did you follow the instructions?
No, instructions.
So what have you learned from the process?
To work as a team. Yeah.
Folks, did you work as a team or was just one person in charge?
No, we did.
No, we worked as a team.
Yeah? Okay, so there's some teamwork and you get to launch it later on.
Yeah.
What are your expectations of it? Where is it going to go?
Mars.
Excellent. Well, unless you've packed anything else in there, messages to anybody in Mars or anything, no?
Yeah of course.
Aliens.
To the aliens as well.
Okay. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, the best of luck with the launch.
Thanks.
Thank you.
What really inspired me was maybe to someday walk on the moon. I watched the very first astronauts who went and walked on the moon, and I just thought, wow, is that possible? That's really just sort of like a scouting badge. If I can somehow change who I am from this little nubbin of a person that I right now, maybe I can somehow become a person who could fly in space. But it's really up to me. I just have to earn all the right badges. I have to take who I am right now, study, work, prepare, get myself ready, and maybe someday someone will trust me to do something as magnificent as fly a rocket ship and become an astronaut and fly in space. And amazingly enough, that actually happened.
To get the news first, subscribe now to Squawk 7000 on your favorite podcast platform.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Everyone has that one goal, that thing they want to prove. Not to other people, but to themselves. Then, right when you think you could actually do it, cancer. And that goal is still within reach. I would know. I'm about to run my first ever marathon with my two best friends. 3 years after having cancer.
At least we look good in these shorts.
Woo! Let's get it, guys. You, keep making plans.
Visit OhioHealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.